We are working through a passage in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. And this morning in God's providence, we come to verse 14 in Ephesians chapter 2, which speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he himself is our peace. Well, having said that, I hardly need to define peace, do I? But what is it? Is peace the absence of warfare? Is peace the absence of strife? Is peace the absence of unrest? The absence of enmity? The world does yearn for peace. Central America remains in turmoil. Afghanistan has experienced the withdrawal of Soviet troops, but the country is on the brink of civil war if it's not present already. South Africa, the Middle East, because of a new position that Yasser Arafat has taken, he is viewed by many as a man of peace. Because of new initiatives which Mikhail Gorbachev has taken, he is viewed by many as a man of peace. But is not peace more than the cessation of outward hostilities? James chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members?" Indeed, that is the case. Peace means the cessation of inner hostilities. And real peace is not brought by treaties and alliances. Real peace is brought by the Lord Jesus Christ, for he himself is our peace. This is what our text tells us. The little word "for" at the beginning of verse 14 in Ephesians 2 points back to verses 11 and 12 and 13. "Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Why were you who were formerly far off? Why was it that you who were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, why was it that you who were separated from God, without God in the world, why was it that you were brought near? You were brought near by the sacrifice of Christ, by the blood of Jesus Christ. You were brought near by what Christ has done. You see, real peace is not man-made. I think this is the first lesson that comes out of our text this morning. Real peace is not man-made. I think most of you will recall that during the Nixon administration, Secretary of State, or then Secretary of State Kissinger, was in an airplane in the Middle East, and he hopped from one nation to the other. And every night on the news, we heard about this shuttle diplomacy, shuttling from one capital to another in an attempt to bring peace. Oh, it was an effort. But the situation remains little different than it was then. Real peace is brought by the Lord Jesus Christ, for he himself is our peace. And do you notice how Paul puts it? He himself is our peace. Personal. Up close and personal. Christ is my peace. personal peace Paul is talking about. And of course, if there is going to be individual peace, there is also going to have to be corporate peace. And that's why Paul speaks of he himself being our peace in the plural. It's personal, but it's also corporate peace. Christ not only removes inner hostility, bitterness, envy, strife, He removes the hostility and the enmity between people. He is our peace. He is our peace in our families. He is our peace in the fellowship of our church. He is our peace, yes, in the classroom, in the schoolroom. He is our peace in society. He is our peace. Praise God that that's the case. To help us understand that better, I'd like to turn back to that passage in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 that we read a little bit earlier. Isaiah predicts the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice how he describes for us the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. In the King James Version, the name is divided up a little bit, but I think in actuality it should be in couplets. Wonderful Counselor is the first name, and Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor. I don't consider myself to be a Wonderful Counselor. Some ministers, I suppose, do consider themselves to be wonderful counselors. And I know that there are some secular psychiatrists and psychologists who consider themselves to be wonderful counselors. Not so. Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor. He is the one who, in His Word, gives us the counsel that brings peace. Let's not forget that, folks. That's why it's important for us to be engaged in this program of reading through the Bible, of getting into the Word of Christ and gleaning from that Word the counsel which Christ has for us. He is the Wonderful Counselor who is able, fully able, to bring peace. He is the Mighty God. Hallelujah! He is the Mighty God. Some deny this. But I'll tell you what, their way is the way of falsehood. The way of Jesus, the Mighty God, is the way of truth. He is the Eternal Father, not just a look-alike. Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Not just a similar picture of the Father. You have seen the Father. He is the Eternal Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Author of Peace. He is the Founder of Peace. He is the Architect of Peace. Where do you find your peace? Do you find your peace in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that where it is for you? Where do you find your freedom from anxiety, from strife, from enmity? In the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that where you find it? Is there marital disharmony? You know, I hate to say it, but there is marital disharmony in a lot of homes. Outwardly, it seems as though there is peace. But when the doors are closed on the home, there is no peace. Only through Jesus Christ can there be found a remedy. He is our peace. How about rivalry between brothers and sisters? Is there any of that in your household? What's the answer? Jesus Christ. He is our peace. How about enmity between you and your employer? Ever have any problems there? Some of you will say, well, I'm self-employed. I don't have that difficulty. Maybe you do have that difficulty because there are those who work for you. The answer is Jesus Christ. He is our peace. Trouble between you and a teacher, young people? How often that takes place. You may not be able to change that teacher. But I'll tell you what, you can pray for that teacher. And you also can come to Jesus Christ fully and completely and find peace yourself in that situation. He is our peace. This is what Paul is telling us. He himself is our peace, this Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. For Paul now goes on to explain how Christ brought peace in the specific context in which he's speaking. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Christ, the Apostle Paul says, Christ did two great things. This is his work again. He is the one who is bringing peace. And Paul says he made the both one. Now, what's he talking about? Again, the context is given to us in verses 11, 12, and 13. Look at what Paul is talking about here. Read along with me. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ took two great groups of people, Jew and Gentile, and he brought them together into one body. That's what Paul is telling us. He was a work of peace between those two great bodies of individuals. He made them into one, thus bringing peace. Now, we need to grasp the significance of this action. You know, through the ages, there has been great hostility between Jew and Gentile. Enormous hostility. In New Testament times, this was the case. Let me just read you what one of the commentators says here. He says, humanly speaking, the wall that divided Jew and Gentile had been strengthened by centuries of mutual disparagement and mudslinging. A few more years and the pent-up hostility of generations would burst into open flame, and one of the most cruel and bitter wars would be fought. It would result in the destruction of Jerusalem, AD 70. To the Jews, Gentiles were dogs. Many other pejorative expressions were used. Non-Jews were considered unclean, people with whom one must have almost but unavoidable dealings. By many prominent Jews and rabbis, even proselytes were despised. Close association with Gentiles meant defilement. To be sure, the temple had its court of the Gentiles. But even this space was at times filled with Jewish merchants and money changers, with oxen, sheep, and doves, instead of being reserved for holy purposes. The result was that it failed to contribute its share to making a temple the house of prayer. And of course, the Gentiles treated the Jews similarly. By them, Jews were considered enemies of the human race. You know that's true. And through the centuries, it was carried on. In World War II, 8 million Jews exterminated because they were hated and seen to be villains of humanity. And today, because of the racial bigotry and hostility and enmity which exists in the Middle East, there's trouble. Trouble. And folks, as long as the Lord Jesus Christ is rejected in the world, it will be the same. Paul goes on to explain in Ephesians 2:14 a second part of this work of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. He broke down a barrier, a dividing wall between Jew and Gentile. Now this is kind of interesting, because most of the commentators believe that Paul is alluding to a wall which was built around the temple. A wall which provided, outside of the temple area in Jerusalem, a court for the Gentiles. And no Gentile was to go behind that wall into the court of the holy place of the temple in Jerusalem. If a Gentile was caught behind that wall, it was certain death. And there were signs on that wall, on that barrier, that if an individual went behind that wall, that individual was responsible for his or her own death. We don't realize how significant this was until we see the Apostle Paul in Jerusalem. He had taken with him from Ephesus Christians, Greeks. And when the Apostle Paul was seen in the temple, a huge riot ensued, because there were those who thought that the Apostle Paul had brought these Gentiles into the temple confines. And the Jews were ready to take Paul out and to stone him, to kill him. And the Roman guards had to descend upon the temple area, and the temple itself was closed. It caused a huge riot. Just the thought that the apostle might have taken Gentiles into a forbidden area. You see, the imagery that the apostle Paul gives us in Ephesians is simply this: that Jesus Christ has broken down the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile. And that those of the world are free, therefore, to enter the temple of the living God. It's the same imagery that's given to us in the Gospels when Jesus Christ is crucified. The veil in the temple is rent in two from top to bottom, symbolizing the openness of the holy place, the most holy place in the temple of the living God, to all of humanity. Jesus Christ has done this. And this is the imagery that the Apostle Paul is giving us in this great text. so that people like you and me are free to go into God's temple. Praise the Lord that that's the case. Access into God's presence has been opened for you and me. Well, there's something else here that we need to see. In verse 14, the versions translated in different ways. For He Himself is our peace who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. If you have the New International Version, it says, For He Himself is our peace who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. In the original language, hostility is seen to be that dividing wall. And it's amazing. I really think it's amazing how the Apostle Paul puts this. We could read the text like this. For He Himself is our peace who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, the hostility. What did Christ do? Christ remedied the problem of hostility. That's what Christ has done. And it goes back once again to Genesis 3:15. Look in your Bibles with me, if you would, at Genesis 3:15 once again. In Genesis 3:15, it says, And I, that is God, I will put enmity, hostility between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. There is an enmity, a hostility, which has been introduced by God between His people and the rest of the world. It is a God-ordained enmity, a God-ordained hostility. It is a part of the salvation which you and I are privileged to be partakers of. If there was not hostility between the church and the world, there would be no church. That's what makes the church significant. A people called by God, separated from the world, and a barrier placed between the church and the world. Enmity, God-ordained enmity. I think it's important for us to see this. Because I'll tell you what, folks. There's not a one of us in this room today who has the power, the strength, the know-how, the wisdom, the ingenuity to remove that God-ordained enmity. Only God Himself can do it. Do you remember the story of David? How David had been chased out of the city of Jerusalem. And as he led his army out of the city of Jerusalem, there was a man named Shimei who came out alongside of David and his armies. And he began to throw rocks, and he began to throw dust, and he began to curse David. Cursed are you, David! Get out of this city, you man of bloodshed! We have nothing to do with you! Cursed are you! And he threw stones at David. And David's captain said, Let me go out and cut off his head. And David said, No, don't do it. That's the Lord. The Lord's doing that. The Lord's behind that. And David recognized the hand of the Lord in that enmity and that hostility which was being brought against him. Who would remove that enmity and hostility? Not David. God would remove it. And that's the significant thing for us to grasp. Christ removes the enmity and the hostility. And He's the only one who is capable of doing that. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, the hostility. There's a lot of hostility in our world today. A lot of it. And one of the reasons there's a lot of hostility in our world today is because there's a lot of hostility pent up in the hearts of human beings. Who's going to remove that hostility? You come along with any plan you want, and in the end you won't do it. Only God can do it. Only Jesus Christ can remove that hostility, and He does. That's the wonder of the gospel. He Himself is our peace. And folks, if there is any hostility in your heart, if there is any enmity or division or strife in any situation in which you find yourself today, you need to bow before Jesus Christ. He is our peace. The methods proposed by man will not do it. They're sinful, and they need to be repented of. Only Jesus Christ is our peace. And so you must confess Christ, and you must bow before Him as your Lord, as your Prince of Peace. That's the solution. That's the solution. There's no other way to see real peace. The Apostle Paul says, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. And from what will you be saved? Enmity, strife, hostility, all of these things. Why? Because Jesus Christ is our peace. Is He your peace this morning? Have you bowed before Him and acknowledged Him as your Prince of Peace? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, may we understand what Paul is talking about here. And may we be grateful to You for the Lord Jesus Christ, who tears down the dividing wall, the barrier, the enmity, and makes us one with the people of God of all ages. As we go through this passage in Ephesians, Father, open our eyes to the wonder of the work of the Lord Jesus, that we might truly serve Him as we should. Hear us, we ask in His name. Amen.